This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Gordon Damer, how are you?
Larry, how are we feeling? Where do you want to start tonight, my friend? Because as you said, we got a lot to get through here in the next. It's just as well we're 7 to 10 tonight because we need 3 hours to get through all this.
Need four.
Maybe. we're only going to get three.
We'll do the best we can with the time we have, Gordon. And I'm going to, okay, because of the magnitude of this deal, there's a deal that I'm shocked at. But because of the magnitude of this deal, and I know how passionate you were about Juan Soto to the Yankees, the fact that he and Josh Bell goes to the Padres, does that change your mind about the Yankees trying to get him? Because it looked like San Diego gave a lot to get Juan Soto and Josh Bell.
Well, look, you knew the price tag was going to be extraordinarily high. It should be extraordinarily high. But I feel confident sitting here on August 2nd, 2022, saying a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we will look back on this deal as the deal the Padres got Juan Soto. Not that the Padres traded away this prospect or that prospect or that this was the deal that turned around the Nationals again. Juan Soto is that unique. He is that special. We will never see probably another player like him get traded because we've never seen a player like him at his age with his success get traded. So to me, I don't know any Padre fans, but I would think today is a great day to be a Padre fan because you got a clear sign from your team you are going for it this year.
And in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only thing is that the only caveat I will say is they didn't announce an extension for him today. So I guess it is possible he plays there this year. Maybe he plays there next year. He's still a free agent a few years down the road. Maybe for whatever reason, they don't win like he wants to win. And maybe when he gets to free agency, he does leave. Again, it's 3 years down the road. But if they are able to keep them, they will have a franchise, you know, I mean, like how many franchise cornerstones do the Padres have? Yeah. This guy, if he stays there the rest of his career, he will be almost certainly a franchise cornerstone of that franchise.
I mean, and if they get Fernando Tatis, if he can just play 100 games.
Yeah, it just never seems like he's healthy, right?
Yeah, if he could just play 100 games in the season, you got to like them to push the Dodgers a lot.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going for it, right? I mean, they're not holding back. I mean, it's with all these trades, and this was a great trade deadline. This is the type of stuff that baseball needs more of because the amount of activity you got today, I think, has to the fringe fan, to the somebody who's not even a fan, who's just on Twitter, who's seeing all these things pop up, it has to kind of get you somewhat interested, right? When you see these many big names moving teams and changing teams, that maybe that's a way to get some younger fans into the game. So it was a great trade deadline today. And with all the deals that went down, there's no debate about who won the trade deadline. I don't know that they're going to win the World Series. That will only tell in time. But winning the trade deadline, the Padres clearly won the trade deadline.
Going away.
Going away.
Going away. Wasn't even close. All right, Gordon, let's talk about the Yankees. And I know the popular deal, but I'm going to tell you, I was a little shocked to see that Jordan Montgomery was sent to the Cardinals. This came as a surprise to me. Was it surprising to you?
Absolutely. I still can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense to me now. I thought it was surprising when it happened, but there was still some time to make another deal, and I thought, okay, there has to be another piece to this that we're not seeing right now. And I went into today not really expecting the Yankees to do a whole lot, maybe add a reliever. But yeah, that deal to me does not make a whole lot of sense. Now, the kid that they're getting back, Harrison Bader, he's apparently a whiz in center field. He won the Gold Glove in center field last year. And that's an area where the Yankees wanted to upgrade because of defensive runs saved. The one area that the Yankees are most lacking is in center field. So, okay, I understand that. But if this means that Domingo Germán now is getting more starts in the rotation over Jordan Montgomery, who might not have been great, but he's certainly better than Domingo Germán has been so far, Harrison Bader is going to have to be a real defensive whiz to be holding the runs down in center field when the starter is giving up so much hard-hit contact like Domingo Germán has been. Yeah, it's a very strange move. That one does not make sense to me at all.
I was waiting for another starter to be added to this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe there's a starter that's going to go along, so you have that replacement in the lineup, in the starting rotation. But obviously, Gordon, the one that everybody is, who's a Yankee fan, is happy about. Goodbye, Joey Gallo, to the Dodgers of all teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I thought that there would be some team that would be willing to take a chance on him. The Dodgers, if you're a Yankee fan and you just wanted Joey Gallo out of here and you expect that he won't do anything ever again, the fact that the Dodgers have interest in him...
tells you something.
It tells you something. They're a smart organization. They're a forward-looking organization. They're an analytically driven organization. So, you know, look, I know he's been kicked around a lot, and over the last few days, not that I was one of the people that was kicking him around mostly, but it was mostly fans that were just, you know, just relentless because he was terrible. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no other way to put it. He was terrible. Yeah. But I do kind of feel bad for him because it seems like, you know, from the articles you read, you know, he just had such a hard time mentally here, and it was clearly a mental block that he had mm-hmm. that he just could not perform here. And I will say this, that's a failure of the Yankees. Like, when you're scouting these guys, and it's all well and good to see what's on the paper, but there has to be some scouting that goes into, can this guy excel here? What kind of personality is he that can he excel under the bright lights? It's not just numbers on a piece of paper. It has to be a little deeper than that, and there could not be any greater failure than the performance that Joey Gallo put up here the last couple of years. I mean, he was just outright terrible. So that's a failure of the Yankees organization, where they traded, I think, four prospects to get Joey Gallo, and it just never fired.
Mets are on the way down, and the Washington Yankees have the skies have opened up over at the stadium, Gordon. So that game...
It's all about Jacob DeGrom tonight, Larry. Even the Mets can control the weather. They can't get anybody at the trade deadline, but apparently they can control the weather. So that's good. The Met game tonight is must-see TV. Mm-hmm. So it's good that the Yankees will start in a little rain delay. We'll get maybe a couple of innings of DeGrom, get to see him and exclusively focus on him rather than flipping channels every 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, I don't think there'll be... It's slight drizzle, so it's going to be interesting to see if they'll start it. I think they'll start it, Gordon, at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you hate that, because really, if you're
right.
either one of these
don't
places,
start.
Like, I don't
wait
want to
wait
start
it out a little bit, right?
You know, let's wait and see. You know, and of course, you know, well, we always have the window that we can get this in. You know, satellites mm-hmm. tell us we can get in this window here. No, okay, then wait, because you don't want to start your starter and then stop him and then try to bring him back. That never works.
Yeah, the only people on the field right now are the grounds crew, so I don't think that they're going to be starting on time. And I was taking a little walk here before the show tonight.
Were you
usually
really clearing your head?
What's that?
Clearing your head?
Yeah, clearing the head, getting out, you know, getting a couple of steps in for the old the fitness counter. And I could see that the cloud, you know, usually if it's cloudy and you know, those summer storm clouds,
mm-hmm.
there's a good chance that the Yankee game is going to be impacted at some point. So I would not be surprised if what the chances are of rain, but it looks pretty good right now at the stadium, considering the only people on the field are the grounds crew.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, Gordon.
The floor is yours, my friend.
Clearly, the best acquisition for the Mets is Jacob DeGrom on the hill tonight. There's no question about that. But this is a lackluster performance, Gordon, from the Mets front office, in my opinion. I mean, you're telling me Josh Bell goes to San Diego. I get it. But you get Darren Ruff for J.D. Davis and three pitching prospects? I mean, listen... Gordon, I'm not familiar with Darren Ruff. He's not exactly of the... Unless we get notice that Contreras is coming. This isn't... Or JD, you know, JD is coming from Boston. This is not what I'm looking for as a Met fan. These are not the bats. Now, I get it. Ruff provides the lefty compliment to Vogie. Okay, fine. Got it. But that's not what I'm looking for, Gordon. I was looking for another substantial bat to give... Pete Alonso some protection in the lineup. This is not it. Now, okay, Michael Gibbons, they get from Chicago. I'm not enamored with him. Buck Showalter had him in Baltimore. He knows him. He's familiar with him. Okay, I'll play along. I'm very disappointed in what the Mets were able to add at the deadline. Very disappointed.
I don't think that there's any other way to put it, that the Mets, there's no way to sugarcoat it. The Mets completely dropped the ball. You know, look, maybe it turns out that these guys do provide you value, but come on. We can't have any revisionist history of, well, you know, we got Jacob DeGrom back. You were getting Jacob DeGrom back anyway. You know, the kid, Alvarez, in the minor leagues, you can call him up at any time. This was a chance for the Mets to show. And the Mets are full bore winning at all costs this year.
No question.
They should be.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how much, you know, after this year, I don't even know if I'm going to get what I'm going to get out of Jacob DeGrom this year. I don't know if he's going to be on the team next year. This is the year to go for it. And, you know, sometimes the realities of life play against you and there's just not available talent at the trade deadline or what's there is not really all that much of an upgrade. For the Mets to be associated and tied to and rumored to be interested in Trey Mancini, Josh Bell, J.D. Martinez, Wilson Contreras, David Robertson, I'm sure there's a couple of guys I'm missing, mm-hmm. and to wind up at the trade deadline with Darren Ruff and Michael Givens, for anybody to tell you that that is not a complete dropping of the ball, they are just completely delusional. That is such, I can't believe, you know, the hours were ticking by, and the deals are coming, and I'm on the treadmill at 3 o'clock, and I'm just constantly refreshing Twitter to, you know, let's look at, you know, something's got to be coming. It can't be possible that the Mets aren't going to add something. And then 3 o'clock turned to 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock turned to 5 o'clock, and by 5 o'clock, it seemed pretty clear the Mets really weren't going to do anything of real substance, like the kind of names that you were looking to add to a team that is full bore World Series or bust this year. So, yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. I think that this was a complete failure by the Met front office.
And it's very disappointing, Gordon. I just got to tell you, as a Met fan, it's really disappointing. Look, I understand they're playing great baseball and everything, but here's the bottom line. Just like what you said with the Yankees, your job here is to make sure you can't have enough talent, okay, to make sure that you win a World Series. You can't have enough talent. Pete Alonso's been fabulous. The Mets have played great baseball. All the stories apply. Yes, they've been great. Yes, they haven't had their starter. They haven't had their top two starters all season. We know it. We love it. We understand it. But here was an opportunity, and you didn't land anybody that you had on the list. Nobody. Nobody. No one. I mean, you know, unless something comes up very late, Gordon, it's a very disappointing day. And I had a bad feeling yesterday because you're not hearing anything of anything that was being imminent. Right, Gordon? You didn't hear anything with the Mets. Well, you know, this is getting close or maybe – and I understand it coming – trades come at the last minute. Like, nobody expected Jordan Montgomery to be going to St. Louis. So I get that these things happened at the last minute. I don't know. Maybe something fell through. But for me, what could have fallen through? You needed to bring in every possible person to make this lineup what it needs to be. It's a really good lineup. But once again, Gordon, this team is relying on their starting rotation to do the heavy lifting. And every once in a while, you need to give your starting rotation a break and make sure that there's enough offense to help them out. And they didn't do it.
Yeah, there's no other way around it. You know, it would be one thing if – I mean, this is a reminiscent kind of trade deadline to when the Wilpons owned the team, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, our big addition is getting Jacob DeGrom back. And that is a big addition. But you were getting that anyway. You were getting that anyway, whether or not you made a trade or not. So maybe calling up Francisco Alvarez is right around the corner. Maybe something of that like. But when in the weeks before the trade deadline, it was just assumed that because Steve Cohen was now the person in charge, that the Mets were going to be aggressive, that they were going to be willing to take on bad contracts. It was all World Series or bust. And yep. Look, sometimes the people that win the trade deadline don't win the World Series, but there's no way a Met fan really on it, if they're being honest with themselves. If I would have told you 2 weeks ago that the trade deadline would come and go and, you know, you'd be adding the likes of Daniel Vogelbach, Michael Givens, and Darren Ruff, and you would be like, you know what? Let's go to bat. Let's go to war. I'm ready to roll. Let's do it. That is just, it's just not acceptable. And it's absolute, you know, as puzzling as the Yankee move is, and I would say it's absolutely puzzling, the Mets' lack of aggression when that was what we were expecting, right? I mean, they were the team that in the offseason went out and got Max Scherzer, and here we go. And all the teams that we were talking about before the trade deadline, the Mets were expected to be the most, among the most aggressive. And it just seems like they completely dropped the ball.
Doesn't look good, Gordon. It really doesn't. 1-800-919-3776. Yankees underway in the Bronx. And Pete Alonso just struck out down in Washington. Waiting to see Jacob DeGrom take the hill there. We'll take your calls next on 98.7 ESPN. Let's begin with Josh. Josh, you are first on ESPN New York Tonight.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on, Josh?
So I'm actually okay with the Met deadline. They came into this with two massive holes in their lineup, and their DH spot went from a 600 OPS to now you've got two guys with 900 OPSs against either-handedness. Givens, admittedly, is not the reliever I wanted, but he's got good splits against both lefties and righties. You know, it's not the big sexy names, but when you look at what was out there, it doesn't seem like the Cubs really wanted to move Contreras. I think they want the draft pick back for him. And J.D. Martinez has back issues that have sapped him of his power the last 2 months. So I'm okay with it. This team got better. You've got from two black holes in your lineup to one black hole. And who knows, maybe Alvarez comes up or maybe McCann hits 200. So I'm okay with it. It wasn't sexy, but they got better.
I hear what you're saying, Josh. Here's where I will disagree with you. There were a number of players that the Mets were in lieu of, were in play for. And what happened here was they had to go to plan C and D. And I think kind of, as I look back on it, Josh and Gordon, I'm thinking that Vogelbach was the beginning of them realizing they weren't going to be able to get who they were going to get. So now they were trying to fill it up. Okay, so now you have the righty DH and the lefty DH. Josh, I hear what you're saying, but for me, I'm not saying it's a bad move. What I'm saying is I'm disappointed because the names that I expected, I didn't get. I didn't get the bat I expected, and I didn't get the reliever I expected. So for me, it's a disappointment. Now, I hear what you're saying about them filling in the holes and everything like that, and it may turn out to be great. And I may sit here later in the season, guys, and thanks for the call, Josh. I may sit here later in the season and say, hey, you know what? It turned out okay. It happened, and the guys fit perfectly. But, Gordon, that's not even what they expected. That wasn't their number one choice. So, yes, they made a deal. They had to come back. Gordon, it's the same thing I said about the Knicks. How often do the Knicks never get the number one, the plan A? Never works. It's always Z or X. And in this case, okay, the Mets got plan X or Z.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who would have told you a week ago that they would have been happy with the Mets getting a platoon to bat fifth behind Pete Alonso, I think is lying. When all these names were getting thrown around, I didn't hear anybody say, you know what? I don't think we need J.D. Martinez. I don't think we need Josh Bell. I don't think we need Wilson Contreras. We don't need any of these guys. What we can do is we can get Daniel Vogelbach and Darren Ruff, and we can platoon those guys as our DH. Not a single person was saying that.
No.
So to now all of a sudden spin it that way is, to me, completely revisionist history. It's okay. You know, I don't know what it is. It just seems like that there's maybe it's a younger fan base that they just want to believe so much that they don't look at things critically, because there's no way you can look at what the Mets did at the trade deadline today and think that was plan A or plan B. That's a really good trade deadline.
No, you can. Here's what you can say. Hope it works out. This is what we got to
go
with.
Right, of course.
Listen, hope.
And it may. Who knows?
It may. But this is not what you said. This is not what you were looking forward to.
Of course not.
This is not what you were looking forward to. I had a feeling, Gordon. I told you last night, didn't
I? You did. You did. And I didn't think it was possible because, you know, with Steve Cohen, there's a new sheriff in town. I've been hearing for weeks, and it would make sense. This team is playing so well. This is the year, maybe even more so than the Yankees. This is the year to be all in, right? Are you ever going to get a better Max Scherzer than he's been so far this year? Are you ever going to get a better Edwin Diaz than he's been this year? Are you ever going to get a better Pete Alonso than he has been this year? Jacob DeGrom, we don't even know if he's going to be here next year. That's like your four best players. So this is the year.
Jacob DeGrom's going to make his next start.
Right, right. Well, let's leave that. Let's leave that for something else. But you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the year. You've been waiting since 1986. This is the time. These are the guys. And it seems like everything's coming together, right? DeGrom's missed all this time. He's back on the mound tonight. Diaz, after all these bad years and seeming like a guy who just could not get it done here, he's been electric. Scherzer's been outside of the DL stint, he has been everything that you could have asked for. The team is winning games. The team is playing well. And this is the time to make the moves. And it just did not happen.
Seattle up 2-0 over the Yankees. DeGrom on the hill to ready to face the Nationals in the bottom of the first. Spike is in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
Hey, boys. Listen, I kind of disagree a little bit with you on the Mets. Of course, I get my tutelage from my other CCNY guy. J.D. Davis was his name. He's done nothing. This I don't want to butcher the names. The big guy they got. He eats. Look at his stats against left-handers. He's like 80 points higher. He's got 11 more home runs and 400 more at-bats. I'm close on those numbers. So you got to back Alonso up. And look, one no thing about the owner. He ain't going to pitch pennies. And Gordon, I agree with you, too. You know, getting DeGrom back, you always say it. Well, he hasn't pitched in the years. But DeGrom and Scherzer. Scherzer was not his A game last night. He dominated almost in a B game. So you get those two guys in the new format. I talked to you about this the other day, Larry. You get the bye, and then the other team gets the three games at home. So they get a bye, and then they – you know, San Diego's the problem for the Mets here, not Atlanta so much, because if the Mets have it head-on now with Atlanta, just think about it. 11 games, and you could get probably, what, 5-6 starts out of Scherzer, hopefully, and DeGrom. I mean, just think of it that way. So you could almost put them away now if you dominate them. I would have liked to see them get something, let's say, you know, more sexy, for lack of a better term. But they must don't want to give up on some guys. And they didn't give anything away. No one wanted Dom Smith. So, you know, stay the course. You're in first place. There's always time. Look, I told you last week, Lindor's going to hit 25, 30 home runs and knock in 100 and something runs. And he's slick as can be in the field. And you got nothing. Alonso, if Judge wasn't having this year, Alonso would be right up there in the talk. Team you got to worry about is San Diego. This guy, there's another billionaire. He went all in. He emptied and turned his pockets inside out. And if they come back, if Tatis is coming back this year, I'm sure he is, right?
Supposed to. I think he's supposed to come back. Yeah.
I said, you got three guys. How are you going to pitch to those three guys? They're all young. They're all even the Yankees, they got this pitcher. It's better. Look, Montgomery shocked me at the end, like I'm sure he did you two guys.
Oh, yeah.
But he was starting to have the bad inning again. You know, he's hanging around Cole too much. But this pitcher they got's really good, my buddy told me. Really, top 20 pitcher. And now you got to get your bullpens. It's always pitching in bullpens. Every year we go through this. So I'm not disappointed. I didn't think anybody else ran the table except San Diego. And they got some – they'll worry about money in 2 years, you know? And,
yeah,
and I don't think I can't –
But I'm still disappointed, Spike. I hear what you're saying, and thanks for the phone call, my friend. I got it. I hear what you're saying. It could still work out. I understand. All I'm saying is none of the names that were associated with coming to the Mets, none of the names that the Mets were interested in, none of them are here. None of them. And it's disappointing. I'm still a Met fan. I'm still happy that the team is doing well. I'm hopeful that this platoon works out. Gordon, I'm hopeful. But can you let me be disappointed?
Yeah, no.
I don't have who I want.
Right. No. When you're hearing the names that you were hearing here for the last 2-3 weeks, last month really, and the feeling of look, Steve Cohen, he's not going to hold back, right? I mean, he's going for it. He wants to win a World Series within the 2 or 3 years, right, of taking ownership of the team, and this is the year to do it. And it just feels like the Mets didn't want to pay the price to get the premier talent, so they're going like this backdoor route. By getting a platoon and the DH position, what are you waiting for? Like, this is the year that you wait to unload. This is the year where you pay more than's necessary because you want to win. You want the best players, and you want to add those biggest pieces. So, look, can it work out? Of course it could work out. I mean, I don't know that we were sitting here last year at the trade deadline raving about the moves the Braves did, but the moves the Braves did got them a World Series, so it can certainly – baseball's a weird game. Who knows? Maybe the platoon at DH will turn out to be the perfect thing, and DeGrom will stay healthy. It just – in this moment of time, when you're watching this team ad and that team ad, it feels like the Mets, for whatever reason, were taking half measures when the full measure was what was needed.
More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
It's like I'm on vacation this week, Gordon.
This is a breeze, Larry. This is a breeze. I feel like, remember when Buttle said that, that great quote of, they don't pay me for games, they pay me to practice the games I play for free?
Yes.
I feel like after working those 5 a.m. hours for a little bit, you know? These 7 o'clock hours, I'll work these for free. Well, not for free, but you know.
No, easy,
big fella, right? But you get my
I understand
point.
What you mean. Yes, I do. Jacob deGrom struck out 2. Of the 3 he faced in the bottom of the first, so the Mets will come up to bat.
The over-under tonight was 6.5 on DeGrom strikeouts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, a Nationals lineup with no Soto.
No Bell.
Not much of a chance in the first inning, right? I was hoping for 3, get, you know, almost halfway there after one inning, but we got 2 of them, so we'll keep an eye on
it. You got a shot.
Somebody
happened to get a bat on the ball, amazingly.
Yeah, well, look, DeGrom's back, and the Mets' offense is back to its old tricks. They leave the bases loaded in the first inning? Not scoring for 3 days. He's like, wait a second, it was supposed to be different now.
Yeah, right, sure it is. The Met manager, Buck Showalter, you had to think that he was a little excited to see what DeGrom was going to be able to do tonight.
We're excited to watch Jake pitch or not have us ask you when Jake's going to pitch.
Yes. No, I'm more excited just to watch him, regardless of how it turns out or what the future, just to think about the long road, like 390, close to 2 days. I mean, it's a big day for him personally. You know, the guy's worked. It's been very frustrating. Could you imagine having that potential at your fingertips and not being able to get to it and not get it on the field? So it's, you know, sometimes you can want something too much, and I think we'll all be glad when, regardless what happens, just we get tonight behind us physically and everything's okay.
All right, so Gordon, of course, if you're Buck Showalter, you're tired of talking about when he's coming back. You want to see him on the mound. So that's an easy question. And, you know, once again, as I remind all Met fans, tonight is important. But not as important as tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is it's nice to finally have an actual game pitched by him. You could not really pick an easier, you know, the Nationals with Soto and Bell out of the lineup. A perfect night to kind of get him back in the mix. I would think that probably he goes 5 innings tonight, not a whole lot more than that. This is not the goal for the Mets, right? To go out and beat the Nationals. The goal is to win the World Series, to win the division first off, and he has to be a big part of that. And can he stay healthy? That's the question. Nobody knows. I mean, we can all have our guesses, but nobody really knows that because he is back that he's going to stay back. And that's what we're going to monitor. And you just kind of, it's almost like you don't hold your breath during the games, because during the games, you know who he is. He's Jacob deGrom. Mm-hmm. But outside of those games, that's when you'll be – the last thing you need is any Jacob deGrom news when he's not on the mound.
Absolutely right. Now, Gordon, help me out here.
All right.
Wouldn't you say that on average – and it doesn't mean that that's the only players that you put in those spots. But on average, wouldn't you say that the DH is kind of a power position?
Absolutely. That's a slugger, right? That's a run producer.
All right. So – Vogelbach, the past 2 seasons, has 21 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Ruff, the past 2 seasons, has 27 home runs.
Okay.
All right? So, Gordon, maybe it's me, but when I look at who was available,
yes,
they were giving me that type of production in 1 season or better.
Yeah.
All right? So when you're telling me about these guys that are going to be – And once again, I'm not even looking at average, all right. But if you were telling me, okay, maybe one of them is a home run guy, maybe Vogelbach's a home run guy, and Ruff's maybe more of an average guy. Okay, maybe I could go along with that. But Gordon, the DH is a power position, and I'm not getting power from these guys. All right, Josh Bell would give me power.
Yeah, he's
JD Martinez gives me power. Bad back even gives me power. But even if he's not connecting, Gordon, he is a – and this is no knock against these 2 players. They're in the major league, so they're good. Okay? But I'm talking about just the threat of having protection for Pete Alonso in the lineup. These 2 guys just don't get it for me. Once again, I'll put the disclaimer on it. It could work. I hope it works. But when you're comparing what was available and what they were rumored to be talking to, the names and the production associated with those names, this is a poor substitute. Poor.
Well, Larry, you know, we take a lot of calls on the shows that we do. We take calls in the morning when we filled in for Rick and Dave. We take calls at night. We take calls at this time. We take calls at all different time slots. And, you know, I love the callers, but let's be fair. All the calls are not golden, right? Sometimes people bring up some really wacky points, some really out there things. There was not a single solitary person, even with all the wacky callers we take and the amount of calls that we take, that suggested, you know what, I would feel good with the Mets going with a platoon at DH after the trade deadline. Not a single person. It was J.D. Martinez. It was all the names that we met. Josh Bell. It was all the names that we mentioned. So, look, again, as we said, maybe it works. Maybe it turns out okay. But this was nobody's plan A. This was nobody's top option, including the Mets. And it seems like, I saw some reports that they were a little leery about trading away big prospects because the kid they traded away last year for Javi Baez has been doing really well at Class A. Who cares? Who cares if somebody does well in the minor leagues? This is your year to win it. So it's not just that the Mets weren't willing to pay. I would say that they should have been willing to overpay to get the top producers, the top names, the top guys. And that's not the route they decided to go. It felt like when the moment got big, it just got too big for them, and they weren't willing to pay the price to go out there and get the big, you know, the Padres added Josh Hader and Juan Soto. And that's a team that you're going to be, and this is not my Yankee fandom, because I said the same thing about the Yankees. They should have been willing to pay the price to go get Luis Castillo. I'd feel a whole lot better than going out and getting Frankie Montas, even though I got Frankie Montas at a cheaper price than I would have gotten Luis Castillo. Sometimes you got to pay the price that is required for the top of the line. Sometimes it makes sense to do that. This is a year where the Mets should have been willing to go all in, and they didn't go all in. That's for sure.
Promo code Gordon update. DeGrom strikes out Nelson Cruz.
All right, so we got a third strikeout. So we got 6.5, so we need 7 strikeouts tonight. So that so far, this is what we're looking for.
He's doing his job.
He's doing his job.
He's doing his job. Now, Keith Hernandez indicated before the game that he expected that DeGrom would go 5 innings, 70 to 75 pitches.
5 innings. Yeah, that's what I would have figured, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 70 to 75 pitches. He's in the 20s now.
Right.
You know, so I Shekel's
for some reason the
away.
Nationals were trying to stretch a single into a double, and they got thrown out on the base path. So that Ruiz, that is not what we're looking for. If you're not going to strike out, just get a base hit and stand on first base, and allow Jake to get to the next. We don't need outs that are not strikeouts here.
No, that's not what we're looking for.
Not what
follow
we're
the
for.
Game plan. Please. Follow the game plan, please. 1-800-919-3776. More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, look, we're talking about Mets moves that don't make a lot of sense to us. The Yankee move, you know, at least the Mets, it was a lack of moves. The Yankees actually made a move that made no sense. Like, I get that you want to improve. You could not improve your defense in center field in any way other than to take away at your pitching rotation depth at a time where you don't really have some pitching rotation depth.
I'm lost there. I don't know. Is there... Speculation, Gordon, is there something they're not seeing with Montgomery? Are they tired of him, or was it the first inning problems that he's had? They're waiting for him to take that next step. He was unable to take that next step, because there has to be something, some reason why you would just give up on him after a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not a guy that I would really feel great about, you know, pitching a playoff game per se, but you know, you need some guys to go out. He's certainly better than Tyone. He's certainly better than Herman. So now you're saying that you're comfortable with those two guys in the rotation here. And again, the regular season is the regular season, but that move did not make a whole lot of sense to me, considering what you got back. And it seems like the kid Bader is a good defensive replacement. And the Yankees have mentioned many times that they want to kind of get Judge out of center field. They don't want him to play there that often. He's been playing there too much. And this is a kid who's a defensive whiz in center field. But it seems like there could have been a cheaper way to find a defensive whiz in center field than to give up somebody who was, you know, right now in their rotation is probably, what, their fourth starter?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
He's better than Tyone, and if you're taking him out of the rotation, what you're saying is you're going to have Herman pitch more in the rotation.
Yeah, and, you know, he got an unusually short opportunity for a lefty. You know, you normally die with lefties.
Yeah.
You normally take your lefties all the way to as long as you can take them.
Maybe they think that Clark Schmidt is a possibility. Maybe they're just looking at the huge lead that they have in the division, and this is much more of a move for the postseason. It just seems a very odd move to me. And it looked like it was set up for that other move, right? Like, okay, we made this move. This one's really strange, but we got somebody else to fill in the rotation now. And, you know, the Carlos Rodon from the Giants, I thought maybe that was a possibility. I know Jack Curry actually mentioned today that Yes was doing a little thing for the trade deadline. And he mentioned the Yankees were getting a lot of calls on Gleyber Torres.
Who happened to not be in the lineup today.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, Jack Curry's not just throwing that out there on a whim. I thought maybe there was the possibility of some big deal going down, but no, this is very, it's puzzling. It's a puzzling move. I can't put it any other way.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, there's one move that's not puzzling. It is Joey Gallo going to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Aaron Boone had a message for his former outfielder.
First and foremost, thank you. And obviously, look, we know it's been a tough, you know, really calendar year for him. And I don't know. And I'll have a conversation with him, and I have a lot of respect for him. I have a lot of respect for how he worked, how he carried himself, who he was in that room. And I think a lot of us really feel for the situation he was in and the burden he felt and carried. And I think a lot of us, myself included, very much hope that he goes and, you know, kind of recaptures what we all know he's capable of doing. And you know, I'll truly be kind of rooting for him from afar.
Marley Rivera was on Bart and Hahn today, and she weighed in on the Joey Gallo deal.
Well, it's really good defense, right? We know that one of the most cavernous and really difficult outfields at times can be Dodger Stadium. And Joey Gallo, while his offensive numbers are really just awful, let's just be very honest, in New York, he's a spectacular glove. And that is something that is going to be very welcome to the Dodgers. And we've talked about this before. We know how difficult it has been for Joey Gallo. And then it's not, you know, that he couldn't handle New York and so on. But the point is that it is difficult to come to New York and succeed under the level of booze that Joey Gallo and Giancarlo Stanton have handled. You're still a human being. These are things that you're still going to hear, no matter how much of a spectacular athlete you are. So it was a difficult time for him there. But with the Dodgers, it could be a great new scene. And I do think that he's going to be a major contributor, given the fact also that it's a lefty bat. So that's going to be interesting to see Joey in that lineup, making it more dangerous. And you know what? Joey Gallo may strike out a lot, and he may be, you know, in the interstate, which what we know right now with his numbers and his hitting average. But Joey Gallo still commands a lot of respect.
Can you hear it, Gordon? Catch the ball, dude. What are you
doing? Well, I mean, there's a couple of things that I have a problem with that, you know, well, it's very hard to produce when the boos are what they are. And look, the Yankee fans did get carried away, but on the phone lines and complaining about him when the team was 40 games over 500. But the boos came about because he didn't produce. It mm-hmm. wasn't that he didn't produce because of the boos. If at any point he had turned it around, those boos would have turned into cheers. And there's no better example of that than the one she brought up in Giancarlo Stanton. He got booed here. He's been booed on opening day. He's been booed his opening, his first at bat. He hasn't done anything that season, and he has gotten booed, and he's been able to overcome it. So I don't think that the lack of production was from the boos as much as it was the other way around. And then the whole thing about his spectacular defense. I heard about his spectacular defense when he got here. Larry, did I miss something?
Not really spectacular.
It was not. He's a corner outfielder. He's not, you know, he's not Andrew Jones.
No, you could argue that. Listen, to be honest, Aaron Judge played a better center field than he
absolutely
did at either of the corner positions.
I felt, and again, I kind of felt like that. It was all about in his head that he even that part of his game, he kind of questioned at times. So I didn't get the after watching him for a full calendar year. Basically, I did not come away saying anything about his spectacular defense.
No, he was a disappointment all the way around, Gordon.
All the way around.
Let's face it. You know, even if he had saved you a couple of runs, that would have been a plus that you could give to him. Hey, you know what? He did a really good job. Offense struggled. It wasn't what we wanted, but he did a really good job in the outfield. And you can't even say that. He did a pedestrian job. He was better in the outfield. The reason why he's saying he was better in the outfield because he was so bad offensively.
Yeah. I mean, it was better than what he did offensively, but that's, again, a very low bar. And to me, this is a bit of a failure of the Yankee organization in their scouting, that they should have, I mean, for this guy to be this bad playing under the bright light, if it is the bright lights of New York is why he failed here, well, then you got to get a better read on the scouting report, right? Like, you got to kind of know what kind of guy he is, and the numbers aren't just transferable. And this is not the first time. Sonny Gray was the same thing, maybe not to this degree, but he was a huge disappointment. Came from Oakland, was good there, came here, was terrible, left here, got good again. So there's some aspect that the Yankees in their scouting should maybe get straightened out there in terms of the personalities before you bring him here.
I mean, listen, I know you needed a left-handed bat, and that's what you were trying to do, to put another left-handed bat in the lineup.
Taking a shot.
Trying to turn some things around and whatnot. And listen, Gordon, they went 50-50. Rizzo's not giving you the average, but he's giving you some power. He is elite defensively at first.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it.
Right,
but,
exactly.
You scored on that one. You didn't make it on Gallo. But the one thing I will say, Gordon, they didn't hang around with him. He's got to go. We made a mistake. Let's get rid of the mistake. Let's correct the mistake. Get whatever we can get for him and get him out of here. And listen, if he does well with the Dodgers, so be it. That's great for him.
It was never going to happen here.
No.
It was never going to happen here.
Nope.
Absolutely.
No shot.
And as we were saying, as just about everybody was saying, why when people were getting crazy about him and the playoffs, there was no shot of him getting any postseason at bats with the Yankees. He was not going to be on the team, and we all nailed it. He is not on the team.
And look at it this way. You got more than if you released him.
You got something, right? I don't remember the guy's name that they got today. Was it Beter or something like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whether we ever see Mr. Beter in the major leagues, it doesn't really almost matter at this point. Although I think he was actually a pretty high, I think he was like a top 10 prospect of the Dodgers. Like he's not the top guy, but he was like 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah,
like
you're
that,
right. Beter, 23, is going 0-3 with a 5.75 ERA, 52 in the third innings pitched, 48 hits, 37 runs, 33 earned, 35 walks, 88 strikeouts, 10 home runs in 18 games, 16 starts with Double A Tulsa this year. It ranks his 15 strikeouts per 9 innings this season, ranks second among all minor league pitchers who have tossed at least 50 innings. So he's got some pop. He's got a live arm, got some control issues. But listen, you can work on him. And once again, you get something for him, and you don't have to pay him. So you're
right,
good.
Yeah, you save a little money there.
If you released him, you'd have to pay him. You don't have to pay him.
Right.
You're in good shape. James is in Jersey. What's up, James?
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm just calling because, I'm hearing you guys speak all positive vibes, and, you throw Hader at center field, so Judge and Stanton and Hicks, and everybody can stay healthy
positive
in the corner.
Positive vibes? What show are you listening to?
It's not positive, but, you're trying to spin this trade where it seems like Harrison Bader, is a platoon player, but how about looking at it from the side that, like, what if the Yankees really, since you guys don't know why they trade Montgomery, what if they're preparing for Judge to leave next year? Because
trading Montgomery help? What, do you think that Bader is going to be a replacement for Judge?
Hey, let's not forget he won Rookie of the Year 4 years ago. He's a gold glove, and he's been injured the last 2 years. Maybe the Yankees are hoping he can catch some of that spark he had. He started the year off real hot at the bat. He was batting about .300, I think. It looked like he was about to take a tremendous leap. I'm not saying he's going to be AL MVP or anything, but I'm just saying, who was going to replace Judge if Judge does leave?
Here's the thing, James. Now, take a deep breath. All right, think about this. It's not about him replacing Judge. It's about if he is a guy who you said has been injured the past 2 years who had a good start, then why would you give up Jordan Montgomery for this guy? Isn't there somebody else you could have given up for him instead of taking a guy out of your rotation who arguably would be your number four starter right now? Don't you think that's what we're looking at, James? Don't you think that you could have gotten him for something other than Jordan Montgomery?
Like, to me, that's a prospect you give up for a defensive replacement. That to me.
Yeah, you can't give up a starter for him. Thanks for the phone call, James. See, I get what you're thinking about, but the Yankees were not thinking, I guarantee you, the Yankees did not say, hey, if Judge doesn't come back,
let's get this.
We
Harrison
got a center
Bader
fielder.
Yeah.
First of all, Judge turned out to be the center fielder, but he's the right fielder. They don't want to put him in center field. Okay? So, no, it's who you gave up to get him. You can't give up your number. You can't give up a frontline starter for this guy. I'm saying. There's got to be, Gordon, there's got to be somebody on the farm that you could give up for this guy. Got to be.
Yeah, it does seem like a puzzling move.
Gordon, give me Herman. If you're telling me you're giving me Herman for
nobody
him.
Nobody wants him.
Okay, but I'm saying, if you're telling me you're giving me Herman or somebody like that, then Herman and another prospect, okay, maybe I'll buy that.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.